Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome again here to Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. As we say, where your path is created by walking on it. And we have such a guest now up from the University of California at Merced, Dr. Dan Herleman. How are you today, Dan?
Great, Zara. Good to hear from you.
You absolutely. And folks, this will be very transparent to our frequent listeners because they know I'm a loyal Purdue graduate, as well as Dan contributed extensively there. So let me introduce Dan. As I mentioned, he's currently the Dean of Engineering at UC Merced, in other words, a nonprofit institution that is indeed in startup mode. So today we're going to be talking about entrepreneurship in the context of an academic institution. Dan has been crafting the unique brand and establishing its reach as the newest public institution within the California university system with his other colleagues. Originally from Kansas, he attended Purdue University for his bachelor's, master's, and PhD in mechanical engineering, and to join the faculty of Arizona State University, the other university here in the state of Arizona. He returned to ME, the department with Purdue in the early 90s, and there he led a 10-year change agenda that sparked growth in the student body, faculty, and research, plus it netted a recently opened Center for Collaborative Engineering. Dan has nearly 200 publications. He's presented 80 invited lectures in 10 countries and holds 5 patents. 10 technologies developed in his lab indeed have been licensed or in commercial products. In 2008, he became the first engineer to receive the Honorable George E. Brown Jr. Award for International Scientific Cooperation. And winners before Dan included the Presidential Science Advisors to Boris Yeltsin and Bill Clinton, and in more recent years, a senior U.S. senator and a Nobel Prize winner. Dan is first and foremost, though, you're going to hear it in his words, an educator dedicated to contemporary learning methodologies coupled with practical work experiences. In fact, he founded Purdue's signature global engineering program that offers undergraduate engineering students the chance to study in Germany, China, Mexico, or India with work internships on both shores in the process and, by the way, graduate within 4 years. So the personal career change calling, though, came in fall of last year, and Dan joined the University of California Merced, now as dean of all of their engineering, and he chairs the Board of Engineers of a Sustainable World, which will be based at UCM beginning in July 1st. So ever the entrepreneur, how goes the ride so far, Dan?
Oh, it's been great, Zara. Very different, as you said, a startup, but some interesting situation in the sense we're part of the UC system, so we have that equity of the established, maybe the best university system in the world, and so we have kind of both worlds of being a startup, but also the legacy and the expectations to fit into that UC system.
So you've got the air cover, but not without challenge, though, right? Because the stress that's being felt in all of the the national school systems are still being felt from a financial standpoint, though, right?
Yeah, that's for sure. If you read the paper out here, I think we had a $500 million cut across the UCs recently, and depending on the tax revenues that are coming in now, there may be some more. Merced has been fortunate in many ways compared to the other 9 established UCs in that our student body's growing. I mean, we're commissioned to support the growth in population in the state. So we add about 600, 700 students a year and 12%, say, and we're up to 5,000. So while the state dollars per student are going down, since our population's growing, actually our budget's going up some, so we're still able to add faculty and have we'll be building a new science and engineering building, or at least that's the plan.
How exciting. So this is the case where I imagine then when you meet up with your peers at the other California institutes that you want to kind of keep a different lower profile, right? Because
exactly.
You're benefiting from the shift more in their direction. You know, Dan, of course, we're calling you here from Arizona, so perhaps you could set the stage a little bit for our listeners to appreciate what a different socioeconomic environment Merced is compared to some of the other parts of the great state of California.
Yeah, indeed. We're in the Central Valley of California, so it's really the fastest growing region in California. Most everything else is landlocked, and that's kind of the case with the other universities as well. It's the agricultural section of the country, I think, of the state.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I think we have like a percent of the farmland and produce 8% of the crops for the nation. So,
wow.
But has been struggling with sort of a narrow economic base, agriculture, mm-hmm. and then with some expansion, maybe overexpansion. Unemployment's very high out in the Central Valley, so economically depressed. And so one of the things about placing the UC, the 10th campus here in this region, is to have a real impact, economic impact on the region as well in terms of diversification of business and hopefully some growth of new businesses out here.
You bet. And in fact, again, for those of us here in Arizona, we know the vitality of having a name university, one that does research, that does commercialization, that can spur clusters in different industrial sectors. So this idea that, you know, the UC Merced, your mission is not just, and although it's a tremendously laudable responsibility to educate youth, but it's also to then serve as a springboard and an engine for economic development.
Yeah, precisely. And that's, in fact, that's one of the signature areas we're putting together in engineering. We have a strategic vision for what our engineers will look like when they, you know, over the years, Engineer 2025, shall mm-hmm. we say, UC Merced. And we have three, say, pillars of that. One is sustainability, the second is innovation, and the third is engagement, which would involve community, local, and global. So we're trying to focus on innovation and engaging our students early and, you know, thinking about how they, that they can create things, they can create businesses, they can make an impact. If even if they go into big business, they can be entrepreneurs and really make a change, make a difference.
Now, Dan, I know, again, because of our close affiliation at Purdue, that you had a similar mission, what you were driving there within the mechanical engineering department. So my question is, because you were working with, you know, for example, student projects that were in the philanthropy space or to create social entrepreneur ideas in amongst learning the basics of heat transfer, the other things that we joyously kept our heads down learning. So how is it different, though, now being in this type of an environment vis-a-vis the larger institution, certainly as world-renowned as Purdue is? What are you finding some of the big differences for you now in the few months you've been there?
Yeah. I think one of the major differences is such a new institution. It was started in 05, and so we don't really have, you know, seasoned policies and procedures.
Okay.
And so we're making it up as we go in many ways. Well, we certainly have the UC umbrella and organization processes to adopt, but they always have a special flavor. So,
which can be a good news, right? I mean, the fact that, because I know you kind of have the reputation at Purdue of swimming outside the lanes. We know that's how we brought change like you did in the mechanical and engineering department. So it's not all bad that you don't have that, some of that structure, right?
No, yeah, not all bad at all. Yeah. And so that's a chance to, as you say, push the envelope mm-hmm. and do some bolder, aggressive things and establish some new processes. And sometimes, it, you know, we've always done it this way is one of the things that slows you down. And
sure.
If we've never done it before, then you have a bit more latitude.
Yep, you're right.
Some interesting things. I think the other very unique thing about UC Merced is the demographics of our student body. We're about 30% Hispanic, 30% Asian, 20% Anglo, 10% African American, and the rest, another 10%. So it really is the future face of America, very
yeah.
different than the demographic of typically large Midwest universities. And
let me repeat that again. 30% Asian, 30% Hispanic, 10% African American, and 20% Anglo. That is dramatically different than certainly where you spent your last 10 years in the heartland of the U.S.
And in fact, it's very different than the other
UC systems. Okay.
Riverside would have a demographic mix approximating ours. They're also a Hispanic-serving institution. But
so with that kind of a blend, the diversity amongst your student body, you know, what comes to mind as some of the things that you've been encountering now in your leadership role?
Well, I think one of the neat things is we have an inherent cross-cultural
yeah.
community, which was as you know, some of the things we tried to do back at Purdue were reach across out of cultural boundaries and reach across the globe and expose our students and put them in situations. And so, in some sense, we've sort of had that ingrown already.
Yeah. Okay.
And if we can appreciate that and leverage it in the various projects and teams we do. I think that's one thing. I think the Hispanic community has a more of a family-oriented,
yes.
community-oriented mindset, and so we see that with a bit more emphasis on engagement and, mm-hmm. and a natural tendency to that. So we are also rolling out some social entrepreneurial
right.
type activities here in the Central Valley.
Of course, we feel that here in Tucson with our established businesses and social community church bases being so Hispanic oriented. So was, and I'm just picturing the day that you got the phone call to be recruited or approached to go to UC Merced, where you've been in this very large, high-profile institution that you've brought a lot of change to over those 10 years, to go say, Dan, this is a relative green field. Was this something that you really had to dwell on a long time before taking those next steps, Dan, or was this a logical, you know, who knows where it came from opportunity for you?
Yeah, I think it's pretty logical. I mean, as you know, I'd done two terms at Purdue with their 10 years in the same position, and you know, very proud of all the things that happened. And you may know the Gatewood wing is opening, in one of the signature things
right.
at the board that you and your colleagues helped, and the faculty and donors. But that'll be opening in October. That's the first LEED building on Purdue's campus. In contrast, UC Merced, every building
is LEED. Okay.
Merced's campus is LEED. Gold is the worst, and all the rest are platinum. So there's a difference where, as you know, I got very interested in sustainability and the science and engineering perspective on that, and how can we sort of embed that in the educational process. And so here was a place that was very young, but sort of had that. The campus has been viewed as a living lab from day one. So I think there were a number of things that lined up. It was probably time to repot, and as Don Feddersen, our friend, used to say, and do something different and new, and then doing something too similar to what I'd done before didn't sound as intriguing. But when this came up, as you said, with kind of the greenfield potential, the legacy connection to the UC, the sustainability mindset, kind of the desire, the excitement in the Central Valley about UC Merced and what it can do for the Central Valley. I think all those things were, you know, came together as it sounded great, and as I came and talked and saw what was going on, it became a pretty obvious thing to do.
You know, you said an earlier comment that certainly resonates for any of us who've led change, that to walk into a place where you don't have to deal with, well, we've always done it that way, instead of, well, we've never done this before, that, my goodness, it must really open up the aperture of possibility for you. And maybe also you need to be even more mindful then when you go plant all these new seeds, that you don't create plants that are growing so fast you can't get them to look like a beautiful field.
Yeah, that's all that. I mean, it is interesting. It's probably not quite as malleable or as
right.
easy as
right.
I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that being we're expected to be, as we mature, equivalent in global stature to the other 10 UCs. It's not one flagship or
you
two flagships and eight
yeah.
others. The UC vision from day one is 10 flagships, all research institutions. And so we also have that, there's sort of a conservative bent we're in danger of kind of trying to be what the Berkeleys and the UCLAs okay. of the world are today, and we've got to work hard to kind of keep out of that in some sense. So there are some constraints that people feel. Maybe partly is that it's not an inferiority complex, but it's that we've got a long ways to go, and we have this model that we're aspiring to, and so there's a tendency to kind of stay within the lines and of what the other nine campuses have done. So,
well, but you know, if you think about it, and I'm sure your peers we hope they're thinking about it, is the model that worked well for them for the 50 to 100 years, whatever that time frame is, that model's been changing too, right? I mean, that's had to be one to break it, change it up in a lot of different places. So not anybody's going to stay to the same box, so to speak.
And what we can't shoot for what they were doing in the 90s.
Right.
Got to shoot what we are going to do and how we're going to be different in our niche and impact in the 2010s and 2020s.
So you've got a very different blend of a student body than one would see, certainly from the years that you've spent at different institutions. You said also become a flagship research institution. So make a comment then about the faculty that have been attracted so far to be there. Are they a different collection of individuals, whether they be disciplines, background, where they grew up, how they grew up for your team now?
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the other signatures of UC Merced is an interdisciplinary flavor. So actually, in engineering, we are still small, but we don't have department boundaries.
Okay.
All the faculty are combined in engineering. Now, certainly, we are building accredited programs, so faculty affiliate with different programs. But one of the attempts was to purposefully, reduce barriers between programs with engineering and across schools. So I think most universities are talking that way and moving in that direction. But again, that's another thing that was sort of in the DNA of UC Merced.
Well, how fortunate, because it wasn't too long ago that, boy, as a mechanical engineering student, I'd do everything to duck having to take something in double E. But that isn't how it works in the business at all.
That is not. And I think we're probably positioned to make that a smaller barrier. And so I think the faculty that come here are, the ones that were founding faculty, you can kind of imagine a professor coming here with nothing, no programs, no curriculum, no courses, no students, no labs, no grad students, and trying to build it. So, I've come to really appreciate and admire what the founding faculty of UC Merced accomplished in those years, and doing all that and building one's research program takes a very kind of a pioneer spirit. And so there's probably a bit more of that. It's a special person that takes that on with that demographic from ground up. And so I admire the folks and their attitude and their work ethic to do all that at the same time.
Well, and in fact, tie back to our first guest on our show, that's called grit. That's having that perseverance as well as that deep-seated passion, because, and anyone who's in circles listening that have been involved in academia, to figure out how to split your time, your energy, your passion between teaching, research, and administration, the classic challenge. And you're saying, we've overlaid that in an environment that we're getting the chance to actually grow the roots at the same time.
Exactly. So that takes a special person, and they've done well. They're beginning to, a number higher, hired in 05, and they're beginning to be promoted and through the system. Pretty good retention, and they've done a good job. So I'm actually the one being able to see them kind of come into their own. So it's a great.
Well, Dan, you did an awful lot of hiring, I know, when you were at Purdue, and one of the biggest challenges, like you said, was to be able to attract faculty right out of the chute to go into Discovery Park and interdisciplinary centers, which is kind of contrary to a lot of these people's upbringing for 25, 30 years, right? Mm-hmm. So the opportunity now to go out and hire these five individuals you just did that take a whole different headset for you? Was it still another layer of change to what you were going to looking for?
Yeah, I think, probably people knew what they were getting into to some
degree. Okay, yeah.
I think maybe not totally, but certainly to some degree. Being affiliated with a UC, a UC is a... certainly a draw. So, we've had great success, I think, attracting very strong candidates. And, these are folks that would consider a variety of other schools as well. And then when they come and see, they do need that. They do need to recognize that it's going to take some true grit, and maybe a little less than for the first founders, but still there's pretty lean numbers, and all the committees and all the curriculum, they're all on on five or six or seven or eight or nine people instead of 65 people as we had in the large departments for one program, right?
So, well, which actually is to your advantage, because if you're wanting to get things done, you know, hopefully you can drive consensus and get alignment a lot faster there. Dan, we said in your opening, our opening comments about this whole idea of economic development, and that UCMer said it wants to part and parcel grow with that changing landscape. I recall reading, I think one of the first articles you put out there when you became dean was a conversation around light rail, or the whole dynamics around, you know, the infrastructure to support that. Share a little bit of that with our listeners, where that came from, your own passion, desire, and then that being a manifestation of the kind of really important things that you and your team there are getting the chance to engage in.
Yeah, so the, you know, the high-speed rail initiative is quite interesting. Probably if it's built in the States, the first one might be in California. I think the Northeast Corridor is certainly a competitor, and I think Florida and California are probably the three strongest competitors for that. And so that in the California version, the first links, the true high speed links, will be from Merced to Bakersfield through Fresno.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea of how does a research university partner with the Cal States, partnering with the community colleges and then the trade schools, how does that ecosystem of education, how would it play into and support that initiative should it carry on? And so that was one that was, you know, as you look around for what is a potential unique area niche for a university, that had a lot of interesting pieces.
You bet.
We're on the track. It isn't really a signature initiative of any other university in the States exactly. It's going to have an impact on the economic development of the Central Valley, so there should be some excitement for the students involved. It's an interesting technology. Maybe, depends on how you look at it, maybe not, or maybe as interesting as space technology that Purdue's known for. So all those things came together, and but of course there's a whole political financial process going on at the same time, but we've sort of gotten involved and positioned ourselves to...
Well, and if there's someone I know because of our personal affiliation that loves to poke around in that type of the world and bring change, that's also in your swim lane to leverage. So how are we running the numbers to get that to pan out?
Right.
Well, Dan Herleman, a real pleasure. Congratulations on your move to University of California, Merced. I know from a personal standpoint, being a Purdue grad and also being on your board, they couldn't have made a better choice, and it's going to be great to watch this entrepreneurial experience for you expand in new ways. Thanks for joining us here on Circles of Change.
Thank you so much, Sarah.
You bet. We'll be in touch soon.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, 877-544-2580.